Welcome to EMP this morning. Let's pray first. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, it's just so good to be here this morning to join you, Lord, and seek after you. We just desire to know your heart and your teachings, Lord, and we just desire to know you. And you're so good and so faithful, Lord, and we just want to open up our hearts to you and our minds. We ask that you would help us to receive your word, your teaching, Lord, that it would touch our lives and give us inspiration, and that you would be our living word, that it would give us that sustenance, Lord. Because man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from your mouth, Lord. And we just really want to be reliant on you, Lord, this day, and be fed by you. We thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 2, we're going to go through this chapter today. And in Acts 1, what just happened is Jesus ascended into heaven, and he instructed the disciples to wait. Just wait on the Holy Spirit. And that's basically what they've been doing. They've just been waiting. They've been of one accord, they say. They've been getting together to pray together, to eat together. They're just always together. And they're just waiting. And in that time, they had appointed also the new apostle. And still just praying, seeking the Lord. So we kind of get to, I guess, what they've been waiting for. So Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language, to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God. Sorry. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine." Let's stop here. Yeah. Sorry. Just in that moment, I didn't know how to pronounce that word. So, again, this is what they have been waiting for. And it says, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And just an observation based on this situation as well as just over the years observing, you know, church and so on, is that it seems like a precursor to when Holy Spirit really falls on a group. It seems like usually there's great unity. And here, they're unified. They're already meeting together, just waiting. They're all of one accord. Not just praying, but... Hello? Even the act of them coming together was all as a result of obedience. Because that's what just Jesus instructed. Wait. Which is probably the hardest... thing to obey to, right? You have no idea what's to come, and it's just wait. Yet, they come. And as a result, the Holy Spirit comes. And I just want to point out, because, you know, speaking in tongues, that sign, and it's kind of a reference to, in Genesis, the Tower of Babel, right? Let me just summarize it. So in the Tower of Babel, people were united, but they were united for their own glory, right? They wanted to build a huge tower to reach the heavens, and I guess to just prove, yeah, I would think their motive was to prove and to basically glorify themselves, right? And the contrast to this instance is people were united but with the intent of to glorify God. And as a result, on this day of Pentecost, side note. So day of Pentecost, we call this Pentecost. So they're celebrating Pentecost, and this is actually 50 days, this occurrence happened 50 days after the Passover. So Pentecost is not a day that was created on this day. It already happened. Like, it was something the Jews already celebrated. And what they were celebrating is their first fruits, right? So Pentecost was a day that they celebrated their first fruits to commemorate receiving of the law. So that's pretty cool, right? So originally, it was a celebration to commemorate the receiving of the law that Moses received. But now, it's become also a day of celebration for us, New Testament Christians, as a celebration of the receiving of the Holy Spirit. So it's interesting how God does stuff like that, right? So anyway, that was a side note, FYI. And what happens on that day is there is the rushing wind, the noise of the rushing wind comes. And then there's tongues of fire that appear. And as a result, people also speaking in other languages. And I guess people also observe them as acting drunken behavior. So these are the manifestations that happened during this time as the Holy Spirit came upon the people. And what's very important to note is our focus should not be on just the signs, right? But often they are. Our focus should be on the fact that the Holy Spirit filled the people, right? Because oftentimes when things, even like stuff like this happens at church or retreat, we just get so focused on the sign. People want to experience the manifestation. I want to speak in tongues. I want to, I don't know, roll on the floor. I want to weep like other people. I want that experience. But that is just the manifestation or the evidence of what's going on inside. And what's going on inside is people were being filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that have really come into contention over our, you know, in the Bible and church history is this issue of speaking in tongues, right? And as it's described here in Acts 2, is that what happened was people started to speak in other languages. Really crazy. I've never personally experienced it, but I know personally of people who have experienced it. And my roommate at one of our SP retreats a long time ago, he basically shared a story about his aunt. And his aunt started speaking in tongues. This was in Canada. She just started speaking in tongues, and she didn't know it was another language at the time. She was just speaking in tongues, and she was apparently speaking in another language. And one day she was just speaking in tongues, and this random person basically approached her and just sat down and started listening. And so she didn't know what was going on. So next day, and I think they were in some sort of cafeteria. And the next day, it happened again, but this time someone else came alongside, and she was able to find out, like, hey, what's going on? Why is this person listening? So apparently, she had been speaking in a tongue that was Native Indian. Is that what? No. What is it? Okay, indigenous. Okay, she was speaking in an indigenous language. And so she found out, asked what she was speaking, like what was going on. And basically, over the course of those 2 days, she had been sharing the entire gospel to this lady in this indigenous language. So amazing, right? So this is the stuff that was happening, and people were amazed, like, you know, like Janelle. I know Janelle doesn't know Korean. Clearly she knows Chinese and English. And then suddenly she just starts speaking Korean. And again, this is kind of a redemption moment of in the Tower of Babel. Because what happened was men were united to glorify themselves, right? And then the result was God was very displeased. And he caused them, at that time, they were all speaking one language, and he caused them to speak different languages, and they couldn't understand each other. Now, similar situation, God is pleased because people are united because of him, right? And he comes alongside, and he releases the gift of tongues on people, and suddenly people who don't understand each other now understand each other to a certain extent. Cool? Okay. And so perhaps there's some people who have a lot of questions now. Like, oh, does that mean, because this has happened, is that where the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit is you have to be able to speak in tongues. And not true. Right, the evidence of the Holy Spirit are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, it says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. So again, there's different ways that evidence can be shown. And then also in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men, of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clang cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and cannot fathom all mysteries. Anyway, fast forward to, so the fruits of the Spirit is love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, so on and so forth. So even that just if people start to suddenly are able to demonstrate those fruits, I would say also an evidence of the Holy Spirit just filling you and manifesting itself. And sorry, I'm like condensing a lot of on tongues into this short moment. But also, I just want to point out that the gift of tongues also is not something, it's a gift, but also it is an evidence, not that you're super spiritual, right? If you've received the gift of tongues, or if you desire the gift of tongues, it is not a demonstration of strength. If anything, it is of weakness, right? Basically, you know, you don't know what to pray. You don't know what to say, right? And that's why, oftentimes, you need the gift of tongues. And yes, and then in Corinthians as well, it says that what is the purpose of tongues, right? There's two purposes. There's the first purpose, which is it's to edify yourself, right? Edify your soul. I think it's the one spiritual gift where it actually can benefit yourself. Again, sometimes you just don't know what to pray, right? We want to pray according to God's will. Amen? Because we know if we pray according to God's will, then you know, then prayers will be answered, and it's good for us to be praying what God wants. But oftentimes the case is we don't, because we don't know. So that's why we pray in tongues, right? Even though most of the time, if not always, we don't really know what we're saying when you're praying in tongues, but your spirit knows, right, what's going on. And when you're praying in tongues, as again it says, it edifies your spirit, because when you are praying in tongues, even though your mind is not being fruitful and understanding, it's actually really good for our spirit. And you've probably also experienced the opposite, where your mind, you know exactly what you're praying, it's really eloquent and, you know, structured, and you have really amazing vocabulary as you pray, but yet it feels like in your spirit it's not really doing anything, right? And that's why we pray in tongues. Sometimes we don't know what to say, we don't know how to pray, so you just, where God in his graciousness gifts this to you, right? And of course there's the other side of the gift of tongues, because all of the spiritual gifts are not really meant for your benefit, but it's meant for the body, the church's benefit. So the other side of speaking in tongues is when it's done publicly, right? In which case, there needs to be an interpretation. Otherwise, no one knows what's happening, right? And again, you look at the way people responded, right? So tongues of fire is happening. People are making all these crazy noises, seemingly. Rushing wind. You see flickering fire. It's probably mayhem happening. And if you've ever been to an SP retreat, on one of the evenings, usually a Saturday night, it's something to that extent. And it's really weird, right? People are rolling around on the floor sometimes. When Holy Spirit falls, this is the stuff that kind of happens. People start speaking in tongues. You have no idea what they're saying. People are rolling on the floor. Some people are weeping. Some people are crying. People are like shaking. And it's mayhem. It's pretty crazy. And as a result, even for myself, you're very curious, right? Even sometimes someone gets touched and it's like, starts, I'm like, who's that, right? Which is okay. That curiosity is natural. And it says, when this happened in Acts, people were just drawn, like, what's going on? What's going on? But people responded differently, right? Some people were like, very curious. They see, hey, what's going on? I want to find out more. Some people came and they started mocking. Like, ha ha ha, look at these people. Look at that person rolling on the floor. So silly, right? In this case, they're like, oh, look at these drunken people. So it's interesting that everyone's seeing the same thing. Same, you know, all their senses, their eyes, ears, you know, they're seeing the same thing, yet people respond differently. Some people are curious, some people are drawn to it, but some people, they have this, what's the word? I guess, dislike to it. And it's a good reminder to us as well, especially when it comes to, you know, witnessing to others. And of course, we always want people to experience the Holy Spirit, right? It's really not up to us. It's God who, I think, sees the hearts of men, and then for some reason, he draws some people to him, and some he just withholds, right? Yet they all experience the same thing. So I'd like to invite Sarah up, and I think the main thing I felt like what God wanted us for this morning is just his Holy Spirit. For those of you who have experienced the Holy Spirit already, you know, we're taught that we should be continually filled. So you may have been filled at some point, but you are to be continually filled. And for those who have not or feel like they haven't, then I want to encourage you to, well, first have a desire for it, but just like Jesus commanded his disciples, just to wait upon the Holy Spirit, be united with, and be satisfied with what you have right now too, with your community, just coming together, there's house church. But if it's something that you desire to experience God, I mean, my personal, the reason I wanted to experience it was I always enjoy experiencing how real God is. Even if it ends up me being that person being mocked, even if people are like, oh, look at Kenny, he's so silly, look at him rolling on the floor. But for me, being able to experience God, knowing that he's so real in my life and that he would come and touch me, is something that I prioritize over how other people may look at me. So as Sarah leads, we're just going to let the Holy Spirit do what he will. And just allow this time for Holy Spirit to come. So just pray a blessing. I bless you. I bless you. I bless your spirit to be connected right now to the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit would lead you, lead your mind, body, and soul, and lead you to be filled by his presence, that the Holy Spirit would lead you to be able to just surrender, let go, and remove any hindrances that you may have, even distractions, remove and take away tiredness that you might have, and just allow the Holy Spirit to fill you up, that you would be baptized in the Holy Spirit, covered, immersed in his presence. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. If you could turn to the screens with me, let's cover community, those listed there who are going through cancer, and as well as those who are recovering from chemo or radiation therapy. Let's pray for God's full healing and strength as they go through this season. Let's also cover those loved ones who are sick, but also are in need of word of salvation, that God would make use of the circumstances to reveal himself to them. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities, that they would continue to seek the Lord and contend for full healing. Let's also cover Liz. Let's cover her in her job situation, that God would provide and lead her to just new opportunities and the right opportunity as well. Go to our Thursday prayers. Let's begin with our mission focus. Let's pray for Singapore SPSG, led by Pastor Sam Kim, and also cover Indonesia and our SP Indonesia Spin Ministry in Hong Kong with Pastor Salamat. Let's cover our prayer and healing ministries. Intercessory prayer with Matt. The Well, our physical healing ministry with Pastor Ricky. As well as River Ministry, which is our inner healing ministry. It's recently just been relaunched. And I believe now they're taking new candidates as well. And that's led by Belinda and Janice for now, as Rachel is on maternity leave. So let's cover these ministries. I'll cover the leaders as well. Cover the education ministries, Noah's Ark with Premier Yiling, SP Youth, P Nate, and SPU, P Andrew. We can cover the students that they would be protected under God's covering and SP's covering. Pray for experiences and opportunities for them to encounter God. Pray for the leaders as well, for direction, and also a big heart as well for all the students. Cover our Thursday outreaches. Let's cover SP Lights in partnership with Sons and Daughters. And also let's cover Homie Outreach as well. Pray for God to use them powerfully, to fill them with their love, with His love, and that His love would overflow. Cover the house churches today. Let's pray for East Bay as well as Olympic. Pray that there's a wonderful time coming together, united, and just have a wonderful discussion as we start, as we're Matthew 6, talking about prayer, and have wonderful testimonies to share also from last week. Father God, we just thank you for today and today's text and Holy Spirit. It's just such a good reminder, and to know that you are real and living in us right now and in our lives, and in also our community's lives as well. And we just want to focus more than just on the gifts that you bring, and or even the manifestations that come, but what we really want is you, Holy Spirit. What we want is you. So would you just teach us and lead us and guide us to experience more of your presence, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you would fill us up. And even today, Lord, you would help us to operate not in our own way or on our own strength, but we would operate through you, that you would be the one to experience, to respond differently, to even see things differently, as we will be able to see how you are working, and that we would just join in that, and that the fruit of the Spirit would be that manifestation, love. So we thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all, and just please feel free to continue to spend your time with God.